Okay, ready? Okay. Before I get my presentation, let me just clarify two things that I think Pat might have misunderstood me on. The first one is there are many verses that refer to that we're saved by faith or we're saved by believing, and the fact that they're saved by believing doesn't necessarily rule out water baptism. Those verses are on the bottom down here. Okay? The verses on the top are different. The verses on the top are like John 3:16. Whosoever believes, all who believe is promised to this. Now, getting back to the analogy that we both have about Blondin, the tightrope walker going across Niagara. What about the person who believed and they not only just said, "Yeah, I'll stand here on the ground and believe it," but they said, "Okay, I'm going to get in the wheelbarrow." And what if they got died or got shot before they got in the wheelbarrow? Did they really believe? I think so. It was the intent to get rid of the wheelbarrow. The wheelbarrow didn't save them or make them believe. Okay, so the Church of Christ boy, let's say, who was killed coming here, if he had the intent to be baptized with water. Now, he brought up a counter analogy. Says, well, what if someone intended to believe when they get to church? I don't think that people intend to believe someday. I believe if someone intends to believe, they're not saved yet. I believe that you believe. So someone can believe in the car, or at home. Now they may go to church and make a public confession of that belief in front of the congregation, and then later be baptized after that. But you don't have to be in front of a big church to accept Christ. You can privately you can believe. And so you look at intent. Okay, if Pat's position were true, and I'll get into this a little bit more later, then that means that the thief on the cross is in hell. Because he brought up that John 3:20, another misconception is about ace, is that ace has many meanings. In some cases in the Bible, I agree that ace means causing. In other cases, it means the result of. And I think that Pat at least ought to agree that ace does not mean the same thing in every verse in the Bible. It means different things. And I'll show some examples later where it can't mean causing at all. The Ninevites didn't repent. Ace, the preaching of Jonah, doesn't mean causing the Jonah preaching. They repented because of the preaching of Jonah. Okay? So ace means different things in different contexts. It's ambiguous. Probably the best way to translate the word ace is in English the word for, which is how almost all translations are translated, because for can go either way. It shows relation. Okay? The other thing is, these verses on the top, not the bottom, but the top, they don't imply you're saved by faith. They imply you're saved by faith only. Now, faith, you infer from that, it is a genuine belief, which means the intention to get in the wheelbarrow, the intention to be obedient. And I would go so far as to say that faith includes the intention to be water baptized, if you can. But the thief on the cross, he was not water baptized. Let me give you another example. They estimate about 40,000 Christians, or 40,000 believers, let me put it that way. Pat might not say they're all Christians, but 40,000 believers who believed in the real Jesus Christ were killed in the first 325 years, or first, 300 years or so of Christianity. Water baptism was important to them, and many of them were water baptized. Some were not. I'll give an example later. Or they were not baptized by immersion. These people, actually the early Christians, strictly speaking, they weren't killed because they believed in Christ and they believed in God. The Romans said, you can believe anything you want as long as you also do the idolatrous sacrifice of the Roman emperor. They were killed because they wouldn't believe or worship anybody besides God. Okay? And these people that were killed before they had a chance to be baptized, would you tell them, well, they should have just been sacrificed because they weren't going to go to heaven anyway? Okay, but I believe that people who died with the intention of being baptized but did not be water baptized, they will go to the same place that the thief on the cross is right now. Okay, I do not think the thief on the cross is in hell. Pat, on one hand, it sounds to me like he's saying that he would believe that, though I'm sure if you ask him, he's probably going to say that no, the thief on the cross isn't in hell. Now, he went to, a little complicated, he went to paradise. Not quite heaven, but when Jesus rose from the dead, I believe all the people in paradise were in heaven, and I believe the thief on the cross is in heaven right now. I do not believe the thief on the cross is in hell. It just contradicts what Jesus words. So anyway, now let me get into here a little bit. All right, so we look here, John 16:16. Also look at John 3:36. He who believes the Son has everlasting life. Okay? Now, belief implies obedience, which would imply an intention to be baptized. But if a person who believed and died before they got baptized is going to hell, John 3:36 is wrong. And yet, I, like Pat said at the beginning, I hold to the inerrant, we both hold to the inerrancy of the Scripture. John 3:36 is not wrong. Okay? John 3:4-6. All right? So, the thief on the cross again. What about people who died, before they were baptized, or they were on a cross, and the soldiers, and they say, please, can you let me down and get baptized, and I promise to get back up? No, the Romans wouldn't do that. Okay? All right? So, we can look at these verses. Some Church of Christ people say that it was before the resurrection, so it's different, but that's answered by Luke 3:3. Pat apparently does not have that error. He basically says, John the Baptist preached baptism for the remission of sins, and the phrase for remission of sins is the same phrase used in Acts 2:38. So what Peter said, John the Baptist said prior to the resurrection. And then again, thief on the cross. Okay? Acts 2:37 to 38. If somebody is using, one thing I kind of noticed last week is there are certain cases in the King James Bible where it says remission of sins, which is a fine translation. In other cases, it says forgiveness. It turns out that forgiveness of sins, remission of sins, is basically the same word. It's just however you want to say it. Okay, but Acts 10:43, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission from the forgiveness of sins. Well, what about the people who intended to be baptized but weren't? Okay? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right? We'll go on here. Let me go through ice. Okay, ice means in order to cause. This is how Patrick would interpret Acts 2:38, and this is the right meaning for Luke 6:4. Ice a testimony to them. It caused a testimony to them. Okay? In Matthew 12:41, the Ninevites repented because of the preaching of Jonah. They didn't cause the preaching of Jonah. Ice means too. Jesus iced the city of Samaria. Jesus didn't cause the city of Samaria. Jesus, he went to the city of Samaria. She goes to the tomb. Okay? And so ice can be referenced to, so ice is a generic word meaning for. And the Acts 2:38 means in relation to, and it can mean because of sometimes, it can mean or to other times. But again, it gets back to the thief on the cross. And we'll talk about Cornelius too. Okay? In Romans 5:12, another example of ice or ace. Sin didn't cause the world. Okay? Alright, and then finally, Acts 22:6. When Ananias, we don't know that Ananias was Jewish, but when Ananias had brother Saul, I think Pat would have to agree. Well, Pat and I would disagree that Paul was saved at that point. But I think it boils down to is that I think Pat will agree that Ananias and Paul, or Saul of Tarsus at that time, they were fellow believers. Okay? Now, is a believer necessarily a saved person? Is a genuine believer a saved person or not? I would say yes. Pat would say no. But you have to agree that they were fellow believers. Okay. Another thing about immersion. What about another case? What about people who are baptized as an infant, as I was, and growing up, I had a clear conscience that I had obeyed the command to be baptized, because it said to be baptized. I was baptized. I didn't remember it. I didn't make any choice in the matter. But that's what I thought. Now, as I grew older and I got to study the Bible more and was around other good Christians, I came to the realization that no. That's not what God meant. And so I was immersed as a believer about the time I was in college. But what about those poor people who have been misled, like Methodists who do believe? Well, here's what one person said, Alexander Campbell, who was one of the four main founders of what has been called the Restoration Movement, and Church of Christ is one of the kind of branches of that. My opinion is that immersion is the only baptism. I agree with that. But shall I make my opinion a term of Christian fellowship? If in this case I thus act, where shall I cease from making my opinion in terms of fellowship? I confess I see no end. And ... Let us still acknowledge all to be brethren who believe in the Lord Jesus and humbly and honestly obey him as far as they know his will and their duty. Okay? So Alexander Campbell, he wrote a lot of things, and he may have said different things at different times. I think he actually was baptized as an infant And then later he came to realize that he needed to be immersed, and so he was immersed by a Baptist pastor. Okay. And so, but he is saying that he has calls people brethren who have the error of infant baptism, or non-immersion baptism, even though he recognizes that that is an error. Okay. So, Timothy, okay. Romans 6, 3 through 4. Okay. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we were buried him by baptism and death. But like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness. Okay, so I would agree a little bit with Pat to say this is a being baptized into his death. Baptism represents as Christ died and rose from the dead, as we go down in the water and rise from the dead, and this, and also in Colossians 2, the baptism is a an identification with that. It is a conscious, voluntarily grabbing hold of and saying, yes, we are putting our trust in that. Okay. But it doesn't say anything about the. It doesn't say you can't be saved if you weren't baptized. What if you had the intent but you died before, like the early Christian martyrs, okay? For example, and I don't accept that you have intent to believe without believing. You either believe privately or and trust Jesus, or you don't. Okay. So Pat read this before about Romans 10, 9 through 13. So all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay. And 1 Corinthians 6:11, it talks about people who were very evil and worldly, and it says that's what some of you were, but you were washed and you were cleansed. Okay, so we were washed, and we were internally, most importantly, we were internally washed by the Spirit who came into us at the time we believed. I don't believe, and I think Pat kind of alluded to this, and he's right, that I don't believe that, that you're not filled with the Spirit unless you speak in tongues. I believe receiving the Holy Spirit is something all Christians have at the point that they believe, and that this is spirit baptism, and that's an inward thing that you can't see. And so we have an outward, voluntarily way of showing that happens, and that's what water baptism is. And that's why all Christians ought to be water baptized and immersed in water. But God is not, it's not that God is incapable of saving us if we're not immersed in water. It's not that God is a meanie and doesn't want to save us even though we believe. But this is what God intends for all Christians to be baptized in water. And if you have the intent, but you got killed before you're able to, like the thief on the cross, that you are still saved. So the ideas of genuine believers in hell, I completely reject. And yet that's what Pat has to have. Okay? Romans, I don't know if you've gotten to Romans 8:1. But one thing, that's more in the spirit baptism, but in Ephesians 1:13-14, when we believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. So our salvation is sealed by the Holy Spirit. That is if we're genuinely saved. Now, there's counterfeit conversion too, but if you're genuinely saved, we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit baptism is what we have there. Okay, Galatians 3:26-27. For all of you who are baptized have clothed yourself with Christ. Okay, how can you tell if someone else is a true Christian? Well, really you can't. God's the judge of that. But you can have an idea. Have they chosen to identify with Christ? Have they chosen to be water baptized? Well, that can give you kind of an idea. You know, would you call them a brother or not? The Greek word is clothed. Okay. And yet, in 2 Corinthians 5, 4 through 5, it says, it promises that all who have the Spirit will be clothed with Christ. Now, what about the thief on the cross? Did he ever get clothed with Christ because he didn't get baptized? I believe by the promise he did get clothed with Christ. You know, I believe he's in heaven. Okay? He didn't get water baptized, but he's in heaven because the Spirit can make up for what we're not able to do. Okay? Again, washing, Pat didn't really go into that. I think he just says this is like general washing perhaps, and that's fine. One other thing is, Alexander Campbell, what he said is, in this sense we're to understand what is said by Paul, that Christ sanctifieth and cleanseth the church with washing of water by the word, in Ephesians 5:26 and another place, that according to his mercy he saved us. But that's supposed to be the washing, not he washing, of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, in Titus 3:5. And by Peter that baptism does save us. 1 Peter 3:21. For it is not the intention of Paul to signify that our ablution and salvation are completed by water, or that water contains in itself virtue to purify, regenerate, or renew. Nor did Peter mean that it was the cause of salvation, but only the knowledge and assurance of what is received in the sacrament was sufficiently evident from the words they have used. Now, the one reason I quote Alexander Campbell a couple of times is that he and Thomas Campbell and others, Barton Stone, they are kind of the founders of the Restoration Movement, which kind of branched out. You have the Disciples of Christ, which is often very liberal. You have the Association of Christian Churches, which, by the way, I was a member of for a couple of years, and a fine group of people. And then you have different kinds of Church of Christ, including the True Faith Church of Christ that rejects y'all because they're pretty strange anyway. But you have different groups, but they all kind of go back to the time of Alexander Campbell. And I'm not here to debate or to say anything really good or bad about Alexander Campbell, but no one actually in church history believed exactly the view that Pat is suggesting until the time of after the Restoration Movement started. The early church, they believed baptism was important, but they had some errors too. They tended to believe that you had to go through this 2-year fast before you could be baptized, and you know that's not biblical. Alright, and then I'll just finish this quote. For Paul connects together the word of life and the baptism of water, as if he had said our ablution and sanctification are announced to us by the gospel. By baptism, this message is confirmed. And Peter, after having said the baptism to save us, immediately adds, it is not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, which proceeds from faith. But on the contrary, baptism promises no other purification than by the sprinkling of the blood of Christ, which is emblematically represented by the water on account of its resemblance to washing and cleansing. That word, emblematically, to me, that of Alexander Campbell, that kind of says it all. Baptism is an emblem. Okay? Emblems can be important. If you're in battle, you kind of want to know which side the other soldiers are on. But again, it is an emblem. It's identification with Christ. Pat said that he agreed that it's not the water that actually saved us or purchased us or died for us. It's Christ that did that, Christ's blood. But the water is what we are all, baptism water is what we're supposed to do. In John 3:5, by the way, actually the water there, Jesus is contrasting flesh and spirit, and it can very well be that water is the water that comes from birth, because they didn't have, the whole thing was flesh and spirit, okay? But anyway, moving ahead, since I think I'm low on time here, Colossians 2:11 and 12, I think I already talked about that before. But baptism is a type of circumcision in the Old Testament. Could you be a Jew if you refuse to be circumcised? Well, if a Jewish man refused to be circumcised, that's pretty much a pretty strong sign that he's not a part of the kingdom of God. All right. Did that circumcision save him? No. Looking forward to Christ saved him. Okay. But yet, circumcision was a step of obedience, a sign. Okay. Could someone be saved? It maybe they were Jewish or converted to Judaism and they died before they were circumcised. Yes, they could be saved if they intended to do that. But the circumcision itself wasn't what saved them. What about the other half of all the Jewish people? What about all the females? Okay. Well, I think they were saved too. So just like baptism has an identification of being in Christ by the New Testament, as circumcision was an identification in the Old Testament, they don't save in the sense that they take the place of the cross, but they are an identification, they are an emblem of our salvation that all Christians are supposed to have. All right, if the thief on the cross, if Pat will say that the thief on the cross is in hell because he wasn't baptized, then I think his view is consistent. Otherwise, I don't think that his view is really consistent. Okay? In fact, in Romans, let's stop picking on Pat and go back to the Apostle Paul. In Romans 2, 25 and 28, it said, even those who kept the law but were uncircumcised will be regarded as circumcised. Okay? Now, that's an interesting statement from a Jewish person, Paul. Okay? But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not the letter, whose praise is not of man but of God. That's Romans 2:29. Okay? There was a problem with circumcision. In the early church, some people taught in Acts 15:1 to 12, I'm just going to paraphrase here, that you couldn't be saved unless you were circumcised. Now, the early church, according to Pat, probably would have had a very quick answer. No, that's not true. You have to be baptized instead of circumcision. Okay. That's not what they said. They said, no, we believe it's the grace of the Lord Jesus. They had no mention of baptism here. They didn't deny baptism, but the fact that their whole emphasis was on belief, it was not baptism. Okay? Hebrews 10:22 talks about washing with pure water. When Church of Christ talk about baptism, occasionally, though I think Pat's done a good job of not doing this, it sounds like you think the water is magic or saves us. And you got to be careful not to say that, though. I think Pat's done a good job of saying that that's not the case. Okay, so I think I'll probably stop for now. And I guess that packs up.